Hello, and welcome to the Well Collab Feminine Leadership Podcast. I am Tammy Zadunik, founder of the Well Collab, and your host for today. Our podcast features feminine leadership principles and women leading both in their professional and personal lives. Let's get started.
Hi, I'm Kate Spolly. I'm a small business advisor and educator and facilitator. So I'm kind of a mix of a business strategist and a marketing mentor, and some clients call me a business therapist. Like, I just get to talk to people about their business and everything that it brings up for them, because as you can imagine, it's a pretty deep well. And I love that I get to evolve alongside people's businesses and see people through. Like, I work with clients for years, not everyone, but some I have been lucky enough to do that. So I get to see all of these changes and different growth stages. And I really love helping people figure out what's important to them about having a business and being in a healthy relationship with their business. What kind of business do they want to grow? And making all of those ongoing decisions on their own terms and figuring out sustainable ways of working, so that they can be in whatever they're doing for the long term.
That's really interesting, Kate. Like, already I'm thinking, okay, how do we define a healthy business? Like, what is a healthy business?
Oh,
like,
my God.
What would you say? When you enter into time with a client and you're wanting to talk about a healthy business, or like, what kind of questions do you ask, or what are you curious about?
I mean, I think that's so subjective and different for everyone, but I'm always curious about the parts of business people find energizing or satisfying, and they're kind of in without resistance. And then on the flip side of that, the areas that we find challenging or there's resistance around, or maybe they're draining, because I see our business made up of many different parts, kind of like an ecosystem. And what parts of that are you just happily in? Like the area of your garden that you're like, oh, I will tend to this all day. And then what's the area of like, oh, tomatoes? I forgot I had tomatoes. Or like, I hate tomatoes. I don't want to look at that. So there's that aspect of it. And also in terms of having a healthy relationship, I think of when you feel at the mercy of your business or your life, and like everything is happening to you and you really don't feel like you have a lot of control or a lot of choice, that's an uncomfortable, like that's not an enjoyable spot to be in. So having that sort of healthy give and take where you feel like you have agency and choice in your business, and you have this sense that you can shape it. Like, I know I can take this action on behalf of myself and my business, and that leads to something that I want. So I don't think it's about being in control of everything. I don't personally believe that that's possible, but it's having that healthy kind of middle ground.
So when someone's really feeling ease and joy in like one area, and that of course is what they tend to lean towards, but then they have these areas like, let's talk tomatoes, because I kill tomatoes. Like, I kill all my tomatoes. And I think this was the most successful tomato year I've had, because I found, everyone always says, put the tomatoes in the sun, put the tomatoes in the sun. And I'm like, no, my tomatoes burn. It's so hot in my yard. So I had to put them in like a partly shaded area against what I was told to do, but the right thing for the tomatoes. That brought some joy into the tomatoes. And now I want to try it again this year. So I feel like that's interesting that you brought up tomatoes, because it really did align for me. But what do you tell someone to do when there's like the tomato issue? Like, how do they deal with that? Because honestly, you just want to avoid. I just want to avoid it in my business.
Yeah, it's such a good analogy. I mean, it's less so about me telling someone to do something and more so about like, oh, this is a necessary conversation to have. And it's so different for everyone, which is part of why I like being able to have one-on-one conversations. But I do find it's often marketing and money are the two big things that I find people saying, I don't like this, or I'm bad at it. I also find it fascinating that we have, and not surprising because of our culture, but fascinating we have this morality around money and marketing. Like, I'm good at it, I'm bad at it. There's good rich people, there's bad rich people. There's good poor people, there's bad poor people. Like, it's so weighted. There's so much shame in there. And I mean, first of all, shame just really shuts us down around anything.
Yeah.
What I'm looking for when I have a conversation with someone about their tomatoes, whatever that is, and it does often tend to be marketing or money, I find, I really want to get specific about, like, okay, what is it? Because money, as an example, is such a wide net. And if we can get more specific of, like, oh, I actually, like, I'll use myself as an example. I love handling money. Like, I really trust myself to steward money well. And when I have money, I'm really delighted by, like, moving it around and what I save for and what I invest in and what I spend in. But making money has been a whole different thing for me. And I have a lot of stuff around that. So if someone, someone's like, I'm bad at money, it's like, well, what part? That's where I ideally want to get to first, because then we can build awareness around that. And then you can figure out how to shift that for you personally.
That's really interesting, Kate, because we are on opposite spectrums when it comes to that. So for me, it's more, oh, I need money, I'll just go in and make it. Oh, I have 1,000 ideas of how I want to make it. And I actually, like, really love to tell people about how I want them to give me money, but, like, how I want to receive money from them. I love telling them, but I lose momentum quickly. And if I don't have, like, people buying in right away, I will get discouraged and sort of fall off. But, and then I haven't been great at managing it, but I'm good now, but I've been very just kind of whatever I'm feeling has been more how I've managed money. But now I'm very intentional with, like, savings and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I find that interesting. So with me, like, with losing the momentum, I mean, I think it's sort of a mental health, like an ADHD kind of a thing for me. Like, I'm chasing that dopamine. So I love coming up with a new idea. I love putting it out there. I love selling, like, marketing it to people and then making those sales. But then it's almost even when it comes to doing the task, I'm like, oh, like, I love the hit of the sale. So tell me what you think. Ask me some questions. Tell me what you think about that.
I was going to ask what you like about asking for money, which you already kind of started answering, like the hit of the sale. Do you like pricing your work? Like, is that fairly easy for you?
Yeah, it is. It is fairly easy. Yeah, I mean, I have a really simple formula that I share quite a bit where I just dream up what I want for the year. And then I break that down into the months and the weeks and then the hours I want to work. And then I divide that by the hours, like how many days a week I want to work, and then figure out kind of what I need to make it a day. And then that kind of bases my pricing on that, because then I know how many clients can I actually take in a day. Well, if I'm only working 3 days a week, then I need to charge this much per client in order to make my goal. Whether or not I make my goal is kind of irrelevant, to be honest. It's just, I just find that system really well. I might look at it and go, oh, okay, I'm not making my goal. I'm not getting, so maybe I'm priced too high for the market, or maybe I'm priced too low for the market. Like, maybe I'm attracting the wrong client. So I do get curious about that. But I love thinking about how much money I could make.
Why do you like that?
Because I get very excited for what I could do with it. Like, mm-hmm. I just have so many ways that I would like to spend it or save it or see it grow, take my kids on a trip, go, I love to just be able to say yes to invitations, or yes to, like, when people ask for money, or there's, like, different organizations. I just love to not be limited by the money in my bank account. I just want more, so I can, like, and I always feel like I'm such a good steward of the economy. Like, I'm just so great at, like, bolstering the economy. I'm going to bolster the economy. Call Tammy. She loves to bolster the economy. Yeah, I just find it really fun. It's like a toy.
That's already interesting to me, because you started by saying, like, oh, I'm the flip of you in that I love making money, and the stewarding or managing is the harder part for me. But then you just very clearly connected, like, oh, I love making it because I love the way that I'm able to spend it.
Yeah, but I haven't loved saving and planning and preparing with it. So I'm understanding now. So that's been the aspect that I've sort of left out of the game was like planning for the future, saving for even just tax, you know, just because I was always like, oh, it's no problem. It's so easy to make. I'll just make more. But now I'm like, wait, let's put some away. And then that actually feels really good to see that in the numbers. So I'm finding like I have what I've done is instead of my joy being attached to like spending and doing fun things and giving, my joy is now also attached to seeing the number grow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is very interesting. I find ways to attach joy to things that I didn't previously like.
That's really helpful. I do, when I'm working with people, like looking for that evidence because I really think skills transfer. So what are other areas where you, like you're able to find joys in this other area of money and like how can that transfer to this thing that you want to work on?
That makes sense. It does. Yeah, that's interesting. So what would you say is like a skill in what I shared?
Actually, I guess it's not a skill. Perhaps it's knowing what motivates you, what's meaningful to you, or just works with how your brain works.
Okay, like awareness.
Like finding money, like joyful and fun. And perhaps no wonder you didn't love saving for tax or saving for future Tammy, because it's like, I don't get the immediate joy, like dopamine hit from that. So why am I just think in general, people can be really hard on themselves for not doing things that they think they should do. And I really believe there's a reason that we're not doing it. And sometimes it's because we don't need to. I do think we need to save for tax and future selves, but sometimes people are really hard on themselves for like not having a newsletter. And then you're like, but your business doesn't need one.
I know we're going to talk lots about money today, but let's talk about marketing for a bit, because I agree you brought them both up and they're very intertwined as well. And I think the energies a lot of the times are the same and the roadblocks are the same. But when you say that, like, I don't feel excited about a newsletter, or that seems like something like, oh, every time I sit down to write it, this isn't my story, but I'm thinking, I actually love newsletters, but I'm thinking for people who, oh, every time I sit down to write it, I'm like, I just feel like dread. Or if I have to go on social media, I just feel a sense of a dread. I'm so anxious. I don't like this. What do you say to business owners who feel that way about something?
Yeah, my first step is always figuring out if that's worth doing in the first place. Honestly, even if someone comes to me and they're like, hey, basically help me optimize my newsletter, social media, whatever it is. My first question, and even with an existing client, is like, okay, let's just quickly, can we remind each other, like, why are we doing this newsletter? Like, what is this doing for you in your business? Like, let's just make sure this still makes sense. Or if it's someone new to me, let's just make sure that this makes sense for you. And then we can explore that all day or all week. But let's make sure that this is actually a good use of your time, money, and energy, and points you in the direction that you want to go. And I really do find, like, a lot of people I work with, and I'm going to assume people are like this if they're listening to this podcast, are really smart, really capable, are mindful of their energy and resources, and don't like doing stuff for the sake of it, unless it actually is joyful pleasure. But like, there's often really real reasons if we don't want to do something in our business. And sometimes it's because it actually doesn't need to be done. Like, maybe you really don't need a blog.
Yes. Yes. I've had that come up too, lots, where it's like, you know, should we have this blog? We can write and have content. And what I've thought is the easiest route for me is I love writing the newsletter because I feel like I'm actually, which I am actually talking to the women in the community. So I love writing the newsletter. I could just copy and paste that into the blog post for the people who aren't subscribed to it or something. Like, I feel like take the content from the way I love creating it. So I love the podcast and how it transcribes. And because I love talking to you and meeting women, then I can use that content for the newsletter or for Instagram or for LinkedIn or for a blog. but I don't have to be doing the thing in the way that I don't enjoy. Like if I was to sit down and write a blog, I'd be like, I don't know, because I just feel like I'm putting it out there into nothing. So that would be why I would feel that way. But if I feel like if I'm talking to you and we're gathering this great content through this like energetic conversation, well, then there's my blog post. I can just transcribe it and put it in.
And this might be part of the brain aha you just had, but another thing, like we find that, okay, actually we do want to be doing a newsletter, but the way you've been approaching it just doesn't work for your brain, your energy, whatever it is. There are so many other ways to do it. So you can transcribe things, like record an audio note and have that be transcribed. Like writing a newsletter doesn't have to mean sitting at your computer and writing. I actually really love writing things on my phone. Like I'll go to a park, especially in the summer, and I'm just pacing around writing a draft on my phone because I find I think differently when I'm physically moving than when I'm sitting. So there's just so many things. Once if something is important to you in your business and you've decided, okay, I'm doing this, but wow, I'm having such a heck of a time doing it, or it's taking so much out of me and this isn't sustainable, I think there's lots of ways to play with how you create that thing or deliver that thing.
Yeah, it's that awareness. So first you need that awareness, and then you need to be able to give yourself permission. And I think a lot of people get stuck at the permission piece. Well, I'm supposed to sit down at the desk and write this. This is where I do this. This is the room I've created for this. No, if this isn't working for you, then the room isn't working for you. The room isn't working for you. Where do you actually need to be in order to create that content? Like for me, it's driving. I will say, you know, Siri, write a note for me, and just have Siri write the note for me in my notes app in the phone, and then use that for content or just save it for later. That's what works for me is when I'm driving, is when I have my best thinking. And I think it's also because I'm in the car a lot and I have 3 kids, and that happens to be where I am when I get into that, you zone out and then your mind just starts thinking and I get these great ideas, but I'm driving and I can't grab and pick my phone up. So I need to use Siri, and that's where I find technology is helpful for me. I find technology is my friend in a lot of ways, like with that kind of stuff.
And also I just want to mention, when you started talking about this, the awareness and then giving yourself permission, that brought me back to that tomato analogy of you saying, like, everyone says, I'm already forgetting if it was like has to be in the sun or shouldn't be in the sun, but you saying like, actually my tomatoes do well over here. That's a huge thing. And that comes up in any client. It does not matter how much money they make, what they do. I find this in myself all the time. Like we are told, especially around money and marketing, often very prescriptive ways of like, this is how it works.
Yeah.
This is how customers work. And you do yourself such a favor where you let yourself be curious of like, okay, maybe I'll like, okay, that's what you're telling me, but what's actually true for me and my business? How do my customers actually respond to things? And it's just, and that's why I love any kind of reflection practice. And I sort of call that being in conversation with your business and letting yourself figure out what actually works for you and what's true for your business and what your norms are, to not be beholden to, well, this is what I'm supposed to do, and then I feel bad because I'm going against this general advice.
Yeah, a few things come up there for me. Understanding what the relationship is with your business. So I think I do want you to talk about that. But before we start that, I want to say it's trusting yourself. And I think that it's so hard because honestly, when I'm struggling in business, I just want someone to tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that won't work for you. That might get you started. Maybe telling you what to do is saying, answer this question. Okay, maybe we're taking it way back to just answering a question. So I think that trusting yourself needs to come into play in order for you to be aware, to have the permission, and then to move forward. There are like so many small incremental steps in order to get there. And you do move along that, and then you are able to be more confident. You don't have to go back and find that again. You have it once you gain it and you have it. Once you start to get that trust, you might need to like a new thing might come up and you're refiguring it out, but that you have trusted yourself in the past. So you do gain there. But what would you say? Like, I just love this whole concept of a relationship with your business. What are some of the aspects of the relationship, and how can we compare that to like human to human and human to business relationships?
One thing that actually immediately comes to mind, you asking that, and it's a thing we learned about in the trauma of money method, is how codependency can show up in our business. And I do, and I even think of things, and this definitely comes up around money. Like if we need outcomes in our business to validate our worth, then that's a tough spot to be in. You know, and if someone's saying yes or no to your offer, or someone having feedback about your pricing, if that feels like, which is so understandable, especially in our culture, but if that feels like a real attack on your self-esteem or your worth, or kind of has you feel like you're out to sea, and I really say this speaking from experience.
Me too.
Then that's something to offer. I mean, just a ton of compassion around, and to get really curious about, because to me, that's not a sustainable way to be in relationship with your business. The same way it might not be a sustainable way to be in relationship with a romantic partner or in a friendship. Like if someone's response to you has you totally question your sense of self or your worth, it's an exhausting place to live in also. And I think it can show up in our business if we're that, if insecurity is showing up in that way, we can also move really fast or think the answer is like, let me try this. And we're just like throwing things out, but less so from a genuine, experimental, playful place. And from, oh my God, I have to fix this. I have to find out what's going to work. I need to be validated right now. And we're really like hungry. It's not this like balanced give and take. Like we're really,
I think so many people are at that point, whether in like a romantic relationship or in a business, in a relationship with their business. I think that there is a lot of desperation, and I think there is a lot of need to make money and to have the sale, because people have to pay bills. And I think for me, my business, it's a privilege that I don't have to, like there's certain amounts I have to make each month to cover my costs, but I don't have to make a lot above and beyond that. So how do you help someone, or what kind of questions do you ask when someone like, let's say I'm just like, I have to make this money right now, and I am feeling this anxiety around it and fear. And I know that's hurting my business. I know that's a problem, but I don't know what to do. I'm really challenging you today, Kate.
No, it's just everything makes me think of so many different things.
That's fine.
So I'm like, where to go? One thing, not quite the question, perhaps, but when we feel ourselves, like I experience as being like really sped up, or you're kind of grasping, to just get curious of like, okay, what's the need under this? What am I needing? Like security, like whatever it is. And if you can be curious and aware of that, and if you can see if there are other ways to give that to yourself, then that's helpful.
Yeah.
And then in that example of like, oh, I need to make money, but I don't like the way I'm feeling that in my body, or my nervous system, or am I feeling really desperate or really kind of wound up around it? First, just making sure that that's true, because some people, and this can be from our own previous relationship with money or trauma around money, might actually be in a situation where, oh, I actually don't have, this is a false pressure. Like I have support from my partner or family or whatever it is, or I have a lot of savings. So I'm not actually in, like, can we tell ourselves as true a story as possible about where I'm at right now? But then if you were in the very real situation of like, no, I need to make this money because it comes down to me. I have kids or dependents. I work with business owners that have a team. And that's a huge amount of pressure because it's their families that you're helping support. Is I mean, number one is always just being able to validate and have compassion for the feelings around, because that's really real. And to be able to break it down a little bit and focus on what's in your control. So this would really depend on the person, like their personality, their brain, like lots of different things. For some people, it can help to get really specific about, okay, how much do I actually need by next month or in the next 6 months? Like putting a really specific dollar figure so it doesn't feel like this endless gap, but like, okay, so this is the actual cash gap or the actual thing that I need to fill. And I also like to start with, I kind of call it what's in the field. Like it can be really tempting to develop something completely new to try to fill this cash gap. And sometimes that's the right move for someone. In general, if I had to give general advice, especially when our nervous system is like going all over the place, can we stick to stuff that we already know and maybe starting with clients that we already have? Or is there anyone that we can follow up with? So not piling on lots of new things at once, which can be a lot of extra pressure. And yeah, getting specific and then just like really small steps. Like what is the one thing I can do today to help bring in revenue? And what is the one thing I can do tomorrow? And if we can just focus on these tiny, like, okay, this and this and this, and really give ourselves a big congratulations for doing it, so we don't have this endless, like, nothing is ever enough.
I love that so much. I cannot wait for the transcription that I'm going to put into AI that's going to tell me exactly what you, those steps you laid out, because that was, like, so beautiful. Regulate, like I'm hearing a lot of like regulate the nervous system, right? So find ways to regulate, comfort, soothe yourself, that trying to not catastrophize the whole situation. Or I think too, when you are someone who's looking for dopamine hits, you, which I know a lot of entrepreneurs are, lean more into the spectrum of ADHD or something, like a lot do, try to not go after that dopamine hit of that new offering, that fast fix that probably you'll either lose desire for, or it really isn't the answer. Maybe it is, like you said, maybe it is, but what are the simplest things you can do in this moment? And like, and finding out like, what actually do you need? What facts over, I think sometimes we do, we have to be aware of how we're feeling in our emotions in our body, but sometimes we need to look at facts over our feelings and go, okay, I'm aware. Like, I recognize, I hear you, I see you, I know how you're feeling. I'm not, you know, bottling it up. But then what are the actual facts of the situation and what is the truth? And that can be very hard to do, because while you're doing that, you are immersed with so many feelings. You are just feeling every single little thing. But I know from experience, like I know, because I am that person who avoids and who doesn't want to look at the numbers and who doesn't really want to know and just wants to do the fun thing. So I totally understand that person. But having, like, we both know Tahira. So interestingly enough, Kate, a little background, Kate and I met at a retreat that was amazing. And then Tahira and I already knew each other, and you two got connected through, I'm going to say the well, through the well, you and Tahira. And Tahira has been someone for me. So she's the CFO at The Well, but she's been someone who's been a very like helpful mentor, advisor for me. So I will tell her when I'm not okay. I'm not okay, Tahira. I'm scared. I'm scared about the money. Are we making any? What do we need? Like, how is The Well going to be able to keep going? And she will always calmly and logically explains to me the numbers. She can do the projections of what can be, not necessarily will be, but what can be, and also what we actually need and what's realistic. And it calms me. So I feel, for me, I need to partner with someone to do that. That's not something I can do alone. So I guess what I'm saying through that is, if this feels like overwhelming and too much for you to do alone, find your calmest person in your life who doesn't react, and yeah, have them do it with you. And Tahira always says, how can we spend less? Like, what can we cut? So her thing that she'll go to with me is, let's, instead of doing more, let's look at the numbers and see, is there anything we can cut? And I really appreciate that too. Yeah. So anyways, I said a lot. What are your thoughts?
And that makes me think too of just being so mindful of the advice you're getting and who you're going to for support. Even what you were saying earlier of like, when I'm sort of struggling, I just want someone to tell me what to do, which is really natural. I definitely have that. But yes, in this sort of situation, talking to someone who is calm and isn't going to accelerate your worst fears, but can be more grounded and kind of be more curious and help you approach it like, oh, what an interesting puzzle.
Right.
How are we going to solve this puzzle? And a thing to more broadly say about advice, whether it's money related, but we're in that situation where we're kind of desperate for someone to tell us what to do, and we're maybe quite susceptible to taking on outside advice, is not even to stop asking for the advice, but just get better at how you ask for advice. So when you ask someone for feedback of what do you think I should do, even things, if it's someone you're already in relationship with, like, based on what you know about me and my business, also love really asking for options. Like, what options do you see for me? Or what do you think I should do and why? Or if someone's telling you, oh, you should do this because this is what I did, ask them, okay, great, why did that work for you? Because we often give and ask for advice without context. And if someone can explain, well, that worked for me because I had this other support and my brain is neurotypical or like whatever it is, then you actually get to root something in context. And then it's easier to have this healthy emotional distance and be like, oh, okay, so this person is telling me to do this, which makes a lot of sense because they're like this or they see this. And then you can kind of pick and choose from this basket of like, oh, here are my options, but ultimately stay rooted in your own agency and self-awareness and make your own best choice.
Yeah, that is so helpful. I can see why you're such a great business therapist, coach, strategic guide. I know you're not technically a therapist, okay, but that is what your clients say about you. So I think we can, that's how we're framing it here. So yeah, it's a very human approach, the human first. Yeah, I know that makes me feel calm. Like, that sort of understanding makes me feel calm. And I think it is so important for people who are coaches and are advising people. And I know this is for myself. I do advise a lot of people to not project your own situation and bias onto other people. Very common and hard to even, it's hard. I mean, I even had my husband and my therapist said to us when he was younger, he's in his 50s now, but when he first started, he would often project his own relational problems onto the clients and find himself siding with one of them, the husband or wife. And I find that interesting. That also takes a lot of self-awareness for the coach, the person advising. Have you learned to navigate that? Were you always so like objective and have perspective, or did you learn that?
No, that's skill and learning. And I mean, it's helped me to have my own extensive, particularly trauma therapy. But it is a skill, I think, and something you need to practice and develop. And I do believe that this is your responsibility if you're in that position where you are giving people advice or coaching consultant, and you have that real or perceived power over somebody else, that you are able to hold yourself and someone else's experience. Because it will happen, like someone is telling you, this happens to me all the time. People are telling me about their own money situation and it stirs up things in me.
Of course.
But I have to be able to hold that and literally in a call be talking to myself like, this is okay, we're okay, this is my stuff, and stay tuned to this other person and allow for these two separate experiences. Because when you, start enmeshing or projecting, I personally think that's quite dangerous in how we can harm people without, like, genuinely without intending to do that. And it's something I really look in anyone that I work with or receive advice from, especially in a business context, is, are they able to let me have a separate experience of them? Or are they going to assume that my business works how theirs does or how their other clients do? Like, are you actually going to allow for that room to figure out who am I and who's my business without putting those assumptions on? Because that's gotten me in kind of rough places in the past, or I've had to unpack things because I'm very susceptible.
Me too. I totally understand what you're saying. And I think I know with myself, when I have made that mistake, I have had to say later, I am so sorry. I recognize that that was mine. Like, if I offer a marketing advice and I'm like, wait a second, that's actually not the best, that like not the best for you, or that might not be the best for you. But you can usually tell, like, in the conversation that, yeah, I mean, we're not perfect, but I think you have to be able to recognize that and then have compassion for yourself for that and then not do that and then learn. Do not, like, don't do that again. Learn from that. Move forward and try to not repeat those mistakes again. Because you're right, it is really, it can be really harmful. And I've been, like, especially when you're a new entrepreneur, I've definitely been like, the vision for me is that I'm in a circle and people are kind of pushing me back and forth to, like, all the different people. That's how it shows up in my mind. But swayed into doing things that weren't the best. And really, it's just taken years of learning and trusting myself to realize that I'm the best one to guide this ship. I'm the captain and I can take advice from people. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's my decision. And I have to do... And this is something that I find hard. I have to do what's best for me. But I also recognize that we are responsible to other people and for, like, not for, but to other people. So I'm not saying that we're not caring for other people or helping other people or understanding, like, society and how we can improve society. But it is true that if you are chasing in all these different directions, you can't help anybody else. So you need to be, like, grounded in yourself first, trusting yourself, and then... And it just takes time. Like, I made so many mistakes in business. That's how I learned.
Making mistakes. I don't think, and this reminds me to the way that I approach things like trauma healing. My goal is not to never get triggered again or to never be dysregulated. The only thing that really feels like success or progress to me is, am I able to notice when I'm kind of been knocked out of my window or I'm off my center of gravity? Am I able to come back? And in a business context, I just don't think it's realistic or helpful to think that, oh, I'm never going to get sidetracked or make a mistake or unintentionally harm someone that I'm working with. But can we do the repair? Can we come back? Like, can we trust ourselves to get back into our center? And maybe the more practice we are, we're not taken on a 2-year side quest where we started building a business that we're like, wait, yes. Maybe now we notice it in 2 months or something.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I completely feel that. I feel that. It's funny the things that go through your head when you're doing an interview podcast. You're like, oh my goodness, so many things going through my head right now. But I do want to talk a little bit more about the trauma of money before we're done, because I know we've been talking about money and marketing. But what is the trauma of money when people? When people talk about that or take that course or teach on it, what is that?
I honestly don't feel like I'm well suited to speak to that, which feels funny because I did go through the program. I went through one of the earliest editions of it in 2020. So it has changed quite a bit. So I do have people ask me, like, oh, do you think I should take this? Like, what would you say about it? And one of the first things I say is it's changed a lot since I took it. So I don't feel like I could speak to it now.
Yeah.
A core thing I can say is just having an understanding that there are individual and perhaps most importantly, because a lot of our education leaves this out, systemic factors that influence our relationship with money. and like very real systems and structures in our world that influence how you feel about money and how what you've had access to over the years. And just understanding that those things exist for your own sake, and especially if you're working with people, so that you don't do the whole like just pull yourself up by the bootstraps narrative.
Yeah. Is it mainly like, do you find a lot of it is through childhood, or is some of it in our 20s, or can you kind of have that happen at any time, or is a lot of it rooted in like how we were raised when it comes to our belief systems around money, like you find in your experience?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, a lot of it is childhood. But what is so great is like now I'm mid-30s and maybe let's say mid-20s I started doing that kind of work, is I've been able to slowly and with great effort build up kind of a new bank of evidence. So I have really different core beliefs than what I was raised with. And it's why I can have healthy relationships now. It's why I have the partner I do. And it's why I have the business I do. And I still have lots of room for improvement in all of the things. And in particular, actually, around my relationship with earning money in particular. But I think if we can bring kind of conscious awareness to it, we really can sort of rewrite some of these core beliefs and practices that we hold. So I would say that the stuff that I was brought up with in childhood doesn't have the same power over me that it did. But I think that stuff is like really deeply rooted.
It is. What would some of your core beliefs be around money? I would love to hear some of yours. I can share some of mine if I can. I'm sure they'll come to mind. I don't know off the top of my head, but what are some of your like core beliefs around like either ones you previously believed and now believe different, or even what you just feel now around it?
I mean, the first one that comes to mind, which just sounds so simple and laughable, is that it's okay for me to make money.
That's not simple. That's very common that we don't feel like it's okay.
Yeah. And I could not go to the type of beliefs or stuff I can see in some manifesting realms where you're trying to like really jump the ladder and get yourself to believe like I'm worth millions of dollars or whatever it is. Like I really have to believe the thing that I'm trying to believe. So that core belief is not, it's okay for me to make millions of dollars. Not because I wouldn't maybe want to do that one day, but like that already my body is like, oh God. And it's actually just not something I value. But like, it's okay for me to make money.
Yeah.
Okay for me to earn money. That I am a good steward of money. That is something that took a fair bit of work in like building that kind of evidence-based relationship around. And that I believe personally that money isn't inherently good or bad. Like there's no morality attached to it. It's what you do with it.
I love that. Yeah, those are three very calming and like just solid core beliefs around money. Calming.
And I don't know what the belief here is, but that for anyone that's understandably wary of or fully against capitalism, that money is a method of exchange and commerce is different than capitalism and existed before capitalism. Like so much of capitalism, again, I don't feel like I'm the best person to speak to this, but relies on exploitation to function. And like there, I guess more important, like before capitalistic systems came to be, we were still exchanging things. Money existed. So all of commerce or money or exchange isn't bad.
Yeah, actually, I love exchanging money. But I think some of Simon Sinek's work or conversations around money being like fuel have been the most helpful for me personally, understanding that money is just fuel. So if I have a car, which is my business, like my machine, and I don't put the fuel in, it won't run. So same with a business, same with a household, same with educating your family or feeding your family, you need fuel. If you don't have fuel, it won't run. And those things are very important to us, like our homes, our families, our businesses, our actual cars. Like, we need fuel. So do I need endless excess of fuel? Not really. I need the amount of fuel I need. I need what is divinely right for me. Like, I don't need fuel that everyone else needs. I don't need their fuel. So I do find, when I think of it as fuel, I find it a little bit interesting. And if I understand that at a certain point in my life, I won't have access to fuel in the same way. So I need to have some tanks of fuel for, you know, my elder years. Okay, maybe I'm driving the car less. Maybe I need less. So I think for me, that has been really helpful in understanding that there's nothing wrong. No one feels emotionally, no one feels morally good or bad when they're filling their car up with gas. So that's kind of how I think of it. Well, if I need more gas, I need to go to the station. So maybe the station is like marketing and sales.
I like that. I've always felt quite conflicted around the framing of money as energy. Not because I think it's necessarily wrong. It just, like, it's not helpful for me personally. So I like hearing about another framing of that. And it just makes me curious of what might resonate for me.
Yeah, because energy, like, I'm able to think of money as energy a little bit more now from some reading I've been doing, but it's a slower process for me. I can think of it as an exchange of energy between two people that's like beneficial for both parties. So if I can sometimes get on board with that in the right situation, if I'm really excited about, and I find that that's easier for me in the creative realm. Like, if I'm really excited about a creative shoot I'm doing, then I'm putting out this energy in a creative way, and then they're giving me money in order to fuel the creativity and the results that they will get from that creativity. So that can work for me a bit more. But yeah, the fuel is like, I'm such a tangible person, and I feel like fuel is very tangible. Yeah. Oh, I don't know, Kate, did we solve anyone's problems today?
No, almost certainly not, which is not the point,
The point for me, for the Well Collab, always is relational, connection, curiosity, amplification. Mm-hmm. So I want to amplify who you are. I want to be curious about who you are. I am naturally a curious person, and I want to be able to share information with people, and I want people to feel that they can relate. I always want to be relatable. And I think that we have been very relatable, and I think we've given some really great information. Like, I'm really excited to summarize some of these points and put them out there so people can gain and really understand that it really has to work for you personally, your business, your income, even the way you think about money, energy, the way you think about these things, it has to resonate for you, and you're evolving. So it doesn't mean it's going to be that way forever. It's just right now it needs to make sense for you, and you need and be able to have that like system regulation.
Yes. And maybe the last thing I would say, and related to trauma of money, just to validate that it is so okay and normal if you have a very complex relationship with money in marketing, in your business. We are not all one thing, and our experiences are not all one thing. So even in your childhood, you could have gotten really positive encouragement or messages about money and really negative ones. And just that's so natural to have parts of you pointed forward and parts of you pointed backwards. And if things feel confusing or messy, there's a good reason for that. You know, you're not wrong, like missing something. Just as much as possible, bringing compassion and curiosity and awareness to all of this. And I really firmly believe there is always room to make change that supports us, and that the information we need to get to even just the smallest next step that will help us in our business, our money, our marketing, whatever it is, like that information is available to us to just get to the next step. So I really don't believe that anyone is ultimately stuck with no room. Like there really is possibility available to us.
I love that. And it does often just come down to those really, really, really small, breaking it really into tiny little pieces and having someone come alongside you and help you do that. Because it can feel very overwhelming. And I love community and I love help. And I think asking for help is just such a beautiful thing. And thank you for also pointing out how important it is to be intentional about who your advisors are. And even regulating before you go into some kind of a call and knowing in your body how you're feeling, if that's a yes or a no, as they state things. Yeah. I really respect you. I just like really love the way you share and the way you take space and you take time. And I just appreciate those things. And I know those things will translate to others as well. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.